Hello.
I do. There we go. All right. I get to go third, and I'm honored to follow the work of Liz, Steph, Hank, and Galina, and the committees on drafting the documents. My focus is really on action. And it's interesting that this weekend, with the visit of Henry Cisneros, marks in some ways the long arc of CNU's greatest success, and that was the dismantlement and reconstitution of public housing in the United States. And so I think in some ways that has been our kind of our biggest success to date. Now, I was moved also by Jeff Anderson's comments last night about how we are losing the war. We are a niche. And I have come to believe, I've written a book, if you haven't seen it, you know, it's out there and so on. But in the course of writing the book, I've come to the belief that the CNU is ready for a big next thing. And so what I want to talk to you about today is something that everything you'll see here is provisional, everything is draft, nobody's seen it, it's really just sort of what's come together over the last few days, but something called, tentatively called the 2030 Community Campaign. And this would be obviously a generational plan, a generational campaign that would answer the question of searching for a convenient remedy, a remedy in urbanism. And you'll see also on the screen a series of taglines. And so I'm mindful of the need to be clear to the outside world what we're doing, and that there are many aspects to this campaign. So the board has endorsed the concept of a 2030 challenge of some sort and given us all a year to figure out what it ought to be, what the targets ought to be, the name, et cetera, et cetera. I've filled in the details to give you something specific to respond to. So here we go. Living more, driving less. By age 25, the average American has spent a year in a car. Americans spend five times more hours driving than walking, exercising, or playing sports. 30% of American adults are obese. Over the next few decades, life expectancy for the average American could decline by as much as 5 years unless aggressive efforts are made to slow rising rates of obesity. So that was the guilt part. There's a little more. This is obviously a plan, a photograph of the Earth. This is the per capita rate of driving in the year 2000. Americans per capita drive 8,150 miles a year. Our families, on average, drive 21,500 miles a year. My statistic, Steve Filamowicz, has the same statistic at 23,000 miles per year per family, which is virtually once around the planet per year. Total this up in as a national average, the vehicle miles we drove in the year 2000 were 2.7 trillion. A light year, the distance light travels in a year, is 5.8 trillion miles. And at current rates, we Americans will drive one light year per year in the year 2025. These are big numbers. It can't and it won't go on. So what do we do about it? You'll see here now a sort of cascading series of sub-proposals and things like that, and taglines. First, a nation of neighborhoods. Neighborhoods are designed for walking. They support a high quality of life and offer individuals and families choices in mobility, housing, shopping, work, and play. Neighborhoods vary across the urban-rural transect. These include the hamlet, village, small town, and urban neighborhood. And I had a lot of help pulling this together with images. Here's the pitch. We believe that all Americans, including the 100 million new U.S. citizens we anticipate by 2050, should live in neighborhoods. This presents an enormous opportunity to rethink and redevelop existing sprawling communities and build thousands of new sustainable neighborhoods. Second tagline, a country of corridors. We also believe that the neighborhoods and districts where people live and work need to be part of a transit corridor. I think there's a missing slide. Fine. Next tagline, planning to drive less. The dialogue on climate change is woefully skewed to the widget, the light bulb, the Prius, and the biggest widget of all, the green building. Missing completely is a discussion and relevance of urbanism. It's not in the public dialogue. It's ironic, too, that with a focus on the efficiency of widgets, we actually use more of them. So a known certainty is that as cars become more efficient to drive, we will drive them more. The expectation is with the CAFE standards being adopted, we'll actually drive 5% more vehicle miles per year. It's also worth pointing out that as houses and buildings around the country have gotten more energy efficient, they're cheaper to operate. Not necessarily cheaper to finance, but certainly cheaper to operate, posing no constraint to the out of control per square foot per capita building size. The house is growing even bigger than we are as citizens. So I apologize for this graphic. It looks terribly dim on this screen. This is a diagram from the work of Sokolov, a professor at Princeton. It is not by any means the only document on climate change or necessarily one that has been adopted by all, but I find it to be a useful reference. It proposes, in essence, 15 wedges. Wedges are sort of changes in the slope of a line that would allow us to stabilize temperature change, climate temperature change, at 2 degrees centigrade. And the gist of this, and I like it because it's a simple communications tool, is that they propose 15 different measures that you could undertake, 7 of which you have to do to cap the temperature at the 2 degrees. It's interesting that urbanism touches 7 of the 15. It's not determinant in most of them. In some cases, it's peripheral. But we're in the game. Just nobody's talking about it, and we haven't much to this point. Now, there are two that I want to talk about in particular. Number 3, which is on the upper left, about end-user efficiency and conservation, calls for a 25% reduction in building electrical use. And guess what? People are on this one. This one's big. And this is those of you who were in Philadelphia last year and heard Ed Masria and the 2030 Architecture Challenge. This is what his work is about. And this chart and charts like it are what give him authority to be asking for the changes of conduct and design that he is. The second one I want to point out calls for a 50% reduction in VMT, vehicle miles traveled. No one has claimed this. It is sitting on the shelf. It is there. It needs to be done. No one heretofore is doing it. A moment about Ed Masria. This is an individual who set himself on a mission 3 or 4 years ago. He wrote a standard that calls for the following, that in 5-year steps, new buildings and major renovations of existing buildings shall be designed to these levels of increased energy efficiency. 60% better than average by 2010, 70 by 2015, and so on, up to the year 2030, when all buildings and major renovations under his protocols would be designed to be carbon neutral or to provide all the energy they use on site within the building project. Now, in our office, we are architects. We're also green architects. And this came as a shock to my system. At the time he wrote this, about 4 years ago, we were doing a number of projects. And I include them here to say that we have embraced as an informal standard for our practice meeting these targets. And what we're finding is the following, that over a series of projects, some fairly high-performance buildings were able to meet certainly the current standards that he calls for, and in some cases exceed them greatly, and in one exceptional case, achieve his 2030 standard. Now, what this proves to me is that I feel I'm a leader in green buildings, but his challenge to me shocked me, and I wasn't sure that we could actually do it. So this series of projects where we have really dedicated ourselves to doing this has taught me that it's completely technically possible to meet this very aspirational challenge. It's doable. It costs a lot. And frankly, for our projects, it is done against an unsupportive backdrop. Government doesn't support it, does not make it easy. The work of all of our clients, I will credit the clients with being heroic. We're just putting the pieces together. But it calls for a heroic level of activity to do this, right? And so it is not made easy. And needless to say, once the challenge is out there, and many mayors and cities have signed up for this, it will work its way through the process, and it will, over time, I think, be made easier and easier to do. So the lessons from this challenge: you set a goal, you can't imagine how you'd ever meet it. In the early years, it's not easy to do. Policies align, and then it becomes, hopefully, mainstream and routine. So the challenge I want to talk to you today is about VMT reduction, and it is this chart, I think, will start to lay it out. This is a chart of, thanks to kind of an oral history from Scott Bernstein of the Center for Neighborhood Technology, about how much we drove per year per person. 1910, not much, not many cars. 1930, maybe 1,000 miles a year. 1969, 3,950 miles a year. 2000, 8,150 miles a year. And you can see the slope of this line, and it's going off the chart. What I want to propose, and you'll hear about this shortly, is a reduction. But before I do so, I just wanted to point out to you that as we drove more and more, the things that the Congress is most interested in, I think, which is urbanism, the character of urbanism, the coherent region, the coherent neighborhood block, et cetera, has been devalued. When you drive by it at 50 miles an hour rather than walk by it at 3 miles an hour, who the hell cares what it looks like and what it's built of? And so integral to what we are all collectively interested in with the charter, I believe the metric that sort of gets us what we want is VMT. We will debate this over the next year. I'm settled. So the target that I'm proposing that we aim for is a 50% reduction by the year 2030. And that would take us back to basically 1970. The Plymouth Barracuda, the Ford Mustang. This is a fun time. For those of you who like driving and like cars, you made out in these cars. I mean, I'll just say it that to you. So that's not going away. That's still part of the fun proposition. You just won't drive as far in that car. And the sort of the kind of sketchy part of it is something like this, that starting in 2010, we would give ourselves a couple years to sort of figure it out, get the word out, make it convenient. We would ask for a 2.5% reduction in VMT per year, culminating in a 2030 reduction by half. Is it feasible to meet this standard? So in the same spirit of, you know, Ed Masria set the bar out here, can we actually do that? There are a couple early indicators that suggest there's hope. The Atlantic Station project in Atlanta, Georgia, was designed. Thank you, Ray. Okay. Oh, man. I'm busted. But I'll try not to pull a Peter. So Atlanta on average drives 34 miles per person per day. Atlantic Station, people there drive 8. Portland, Oregon, the region, not just Portland City, but Portland Metro has had reduced VMT. These are images thanks to Norm Garrick. Cambridge, Mass. Now, you would think that old urbanism was at the end of its game, but over 15 years or so was able to improve its standing substantially. Would the standard be convenient? I believe so. America's climate change mayors have already committed to do something that they're not even close to being able to do. The numbers that are targeted in Kyoto, no one's meeting them. Why? These numbers from Shelley Patisha. We still today fund 80% to highways and roads, 17% to transit, 3% to bike and other, 0% to land use planning, 0% to development controls, things that we all know could help. The system of financing roads and conceiving of roads is broken. I will skip over that only to say that maybe the sort of most telling point, quote, is this. Communities are rewarded construction funds to build new roads based on demonstrated or projected increases in VMT. The more VMT you have, the more money you are given. The system is broken. Peter Calthorpe. How would the 2030 community campaign help the average American? And I'm only three slides away from the end, Ray, so if you want to save your feet, you can do that. Okay.
I understand the power of friends.
Yeah, good. I love you too. All right. So just these are talking points. This is not detail. But how would it help us? First of all, national resilience. So the upcoming T-bill could be based on the need to plan and invest for a future with less driving, including a specific reference to a standard that the CNU might foster and champion. This would not concern whether and how much individuals drive. So we're not taking your car, we're not telling you personally what to do, but would lower the risk of future catastrophic national threats through the high cost of gas. We are planning to allow you, in the eventuality that gas goes the way it may, to still have a good life. We're planning for you. We're thinking ahead. We're taking care. We're not stealing your car. Second one, resilient regions. Funding could be found for regional planning, to plan for a future with reduced driving due to higher gas costs. The VMT, 50% VMT reduction could be a specific goal of each of those regional plans, down to the level of the individual community and municipality. Funding could be found for comprehensive plans to plan for a future with the same protocol. So imagine that every comp plan in the country had embedded at the top of it, possibly legislatively, the purpose of this plan, amongst other things, is to plan for a future of reduced VMT. And the power that would give to urbanism, the first thing you do would be to pull out the CNU charter and say, let's make it a coherent region, a coherent community, et cetera, et cetera. It would be neighborhoods and corridors. We all know the end game. So I think that this is what we should do, and I hope we get a chance to discuss it. Thanks.
Are we up to facing this challenge? This is not something you can sit out. You've got to stand up. Great. It is not to diminish the power of Doug's presentation to say this, but I would like to think that your standing ovation is for all three of the presentations you've heard. And the reason I think that's important is that we're in the middle of a process of defining a campaign and an initiative that will have these different components. We are an exciting group of people who get all hepped up about things. That's why we're great. We now need to put it into action.